Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Okay, everyone. Today I've got Alexa here, who is a functional health and nutrition coach. So thank you, Alexa, for being here today and welcome to the podcast. We're going to have a fascinating conversation about stress.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be on and to talk to your audience about stress, the different types of stress, and how we can hopefully help them cope in the immediate term and long term with stress.
So, Alexa, you know something about stress, right? And we have actually, turns out, quite a similar background before we got into health and nutrition. So why don't you give us a little intro of how you got into nutrition and health?
Absolutely. So I definitely come from a corporate background. I'm actually still a learning consultant at one of the big four accounting firms in the US. And where I really started to move into health and nutrition was when I saw my work beginning to take a toll on me physically, mentally, emotionally, my relationships with my husband and with my family. And I had always been interested in exercise. It's something that I got into in college and continued to, you know, move throughout my early corporate life. But it wasn't until, you know, joining true corporate life that I realized just doing like high intensity interval training or high intensity classes, you know, wasn't going to help my stress. And that's when I started to get into yoga. And from yoga is really my gateway to the rest of, to health. And that's where I got my coaching certification, my nutrition certification, et cetera.
Yeah, and when we last spoke, we were laughing about the corporate life, right? And really, we shouldn't be laughing because it's horrible. You know, not undermining anyone with a corporate job at the moment. If that's your calling, you know, that's your calling. But I think there are so many traps in the corporate life where we become almost immune to, right? We just think that's what's normal. We'll just go along with it. And this includes the kinds of food you get at, you know, with corporate catering, at training events. And I'm sure a lot of people listening are probably nodding their heads going, yep, tick, 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 all of it. And unfortunately, you know, although the corporate industry has a lot of money, I think ultimately, you know, having the healthiest, freshest, most organic foods in the canteen is probably not at the top of the priority for a lot of companies. And it makes it really hard for people like us to strike that balance between going for your career, but also going for the best health possible. And I guess that's why both you and I have decided to branch out and try to help specifically people like that, you know, who are not going to ditch their corporate lives and go move to LA and become fitness people. Right. And when it comes to stress, I think, you know, just the other day, I was having a conversation with someone about how stress might not always be visible, might not always be tangible. So maybe your boss calling you at 11 p.m. at night saying we need a deck tomorrow morning, that is a stress. But the fact that you are looking at your screen at 11 is a stress for your eyes, for your body. So stress comes in many forms. And when we previously spoke, I remember, you know, you distinguishing them as acute and chronic. So maybe we could go a little bit into, you know, both types of stress, you know, what are maybe some of the symptoms that people would experience, and how do we really deal with them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to build off of what you were saying from, you know, living the corporate life and how many of these big firms, although they do have a lot of money, don't necessarily always put their employees' health first. For them, it's more so, okay, we're feeding them. It's not necessarily what we're feeding them that kind of comes through. And I totally agree. I think after you go through even just a few years of either the corporate events or client, you know, meetings or whatever it might be, it does start to wear on your, you know, your internal biome. And I think that is, you know, really where we can go into acute stress versus chronic stress. And really the big difference is acute stress is short term, kind of that there's a trigger and it causes a stress response. Whereas chronic stress, and this is one that our modern, you know, modern day that we have a lot more issues with, is that long term kind of low burn type of stress. So we start off with that acute stress. Our body is actually really good at handling acute stress. That is what our ancestors learned to do long ago when they were being chased by saber-toothed tigers. You know, they got, you know, their acute stress went up. They were able to run away from it, or however they needed to get away from it, they were able to do that. Our body was able to respond positively and quickly to that. But nowadays, obviously, we aren't running away from saber-toothed tigers very rarely. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but very rarely are we in an actual life-threatening situation. But our acute stress more so comes from, like you mentioned, a call from a boss at 11 p.m. or criticism via email from a client or from a boss, or, you know, a argument with a spouse or, you know, with a friend. And those are some of the acute stress triggers that we see now. And where chronic stress starts to come in is where you have these acute triggers day after day after day, and you're not handling those acute stresses. So you're not taking the time for yourself to unwind or step away from that computer screen, or, you know, some of the many other tips that I walk through with my clients on how to handle your acute stress so it doesn't build up to your chronic stress. And it's interesting. There are a lot of the same symptoms for acute stress and chronic stress. You know, you have the heart rate that increases. You start to breathe a little bit more heavy. Your blood pressure might raise. And all of those occur with both. But the difference is with the acute stress, it goes up and then it goes back down. The difference with the chronic stress is it slowly builds up. And then you hit a new normal and you start to have chronic high blood pressure. You start to have, you know, you're breathing very shallow and in your chest instead of deep breathing. And you start to have potentially chronic pain or depression. And that is kind of what that chronic stress can lead to if it goes unchecked.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned about breathing, especially because you mentioned, you know, you're a yoga instructor as well. That is the one super important thing I learned from attending yoga classes, is really what it means to actually breathe. And I think most people are not even aware that they are not breathing properly or fully, right? And so I've mentioned on previous episodes, you know, trying the Wim Hof breathing methods or other kind of breath work. And I think that's really one of the simplest signs maybe people can look for of how shallow you are actually breathing, or, you know, how quickly, how short your breaths are. And just now, actually, people won't hear it on here, but there was a siren in the area. And I just wanted to, I guess, bring up the point of how modern life has a lot of auditory stresses. So sometimes on Sundays where I have nothing to do and I'm just being a lazy cat, right, at home. It could be the dishwasher going off. It could be the washing machine going off. It could be my neighbors entering their home. It could be sirens. It could be, there's just so many triggers constantly. And actually, if you look back at our lives, right, going to school, the bell in between lessons, right? Mm-hmm. And then at work, it could be your alarm clock in the morning, or if you're commuting, then people honking at you. There's actually so much auditory stress every mm-hmm. day. And for a while, I don't know if you remember the days of using BlackBerries and BBMs, you know, that little flash would just be so triggering, and I didn't even know it, right? But you just knew, flashing, let's go pick it up. Mm-hmm. So it's no wonder that everybody's constantly stressed out, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of things that we can kind of pull from what you were just talking about. So really, at least the way that I look at stress and how I work with my clients with stress is in four main pillars. So I work with them on a fitness level, a nutrition level, a mindfulness level. So that's the breath work, meditation, yoga, and then also on a sleep level. And all really four of those parts can help you build up to either be less stressed or build up, if you're not taking care of them, to be more stressed or add more stress or add more inflammation into your life and into your body. And some of those auditory and visual cues that you were just mentioning, you know, the looking at the mindfulness pillar can really help to start to, you know, bring you to a more present place instead of constantly either looking at the light that's going off or listening to this sound, then this sound, then that sound. And by bringing, you know, either whether it's meditation, I know meditation can sometimes be a little bit woo-woo or a little bit, I don't want to say triggering, but people are like, that's not for me. But I think there's a lot of different ways that you can look at meditation that's not as polarizing as most people, you know, might think it is. And really, like, meditation can just be sitting quietly for a few minutes. You know, you can have music in your headphones, but even just, you know, sitting in your room breathing for 2 minutes is a great way to just start to practice being present and staying present with yourself. And then when you have those triggering events, you can take that minute, take that 2 minutes to come back to the present moment or to just focus on your breath. And it really can just change your whole perspective on the situation. So I think by focusing on, you know, different pieces of your health to then remediate or help better your stress response is, you know, really the way of the future instead of just focusing on one piece of your health at a time. You know, we are a whole human being. We're not, you know, a piece by piece. So, I think like looking at the whole picture is kind of the way that we're all going in.
One thing that I think with similar age, from what I gathered, one thing that I hear quite a lot, right, is that, oh, this generation with snowflakes, right? Everything is stressful for us. Now, I think there is some truth to that in terms of we never went through an actual hot war, right? We didn't have bombs being dropped on our heads constantly. However, of course, you know, we can't undermine the stresses that we face today, right? Our parents or even our grandparents' generation, they didn't have social media where people could silently and anonymously attack you. And it's just a whole different landscape. So in terms of, I guess, you know, most of my listeners are also probably in the corporate world or at least, you know, working in jobs. How can we constructively, you know, generate more conversation around stress so that, you know, we just acknowledge it instead of making it such a taboo, and have a healthy conversation and actively deal with it.
Yeah, no, that is such a great question. And really bringing topics into the workplace and even into family settings, I think is how we're going to start to see those small and incremental changes. And bringing conversations into the workplace, I think, can really be as simple as starting to put up boundaries. And I know that can be tough, especially if you are in the beginning stages of a career and you're hungry to, no pun intended, but hungry to, you know, continue to climb the corporate ladder. You want to be, you know, you want to show that you're willing to do, you know, what needs to be done. But I think you also need to put into place boundaries so you're not walked all over. And so your stress, you know, doesn't continue to climb and climb and climb. And then you get sick and then you're out for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, because you haven't been taking care of yourself. So kind of that first step is really, you know, putting into place the boundary. I mean, for me, you know, one boundary that I kind of initially put in place with my team is like, once I go home for an evening, and obviously this is when we weren't all working from home, but, you know, once I go home for the evening, unless it's an emergency, I am likely not checking my email again. So if there's something, you know, that needs my attention, I'll need a text message to tell me that versus, you know, having the constant need to go check your email or to make sure you're looking on your phone to make sure you don't have an email that you need to respond to. And I think kind of putting something like that into place, especially for, you know, this happened to be for a project that we were working until 8, 9, 10 at night anyway. So it's like once I went home, I was like, lucky if I was like rolling into bed. It wasn't, you know, it's not like there was a whole bunch of time to do much else, but, you know, putting into place a boundary that feels good for you. And that was just an example of like a boundary that I put into place. But, you know, maybe if your team goes out for drinks, you know, three times a week, again, once in-person things happen again, and you're not really someone who likes to drink that often, or, you know, having a workout class that you want to go to is important to you, maybe you tell your team, you know, I'll come out to drinks with you guys once a week, but, you know, the other two nights, I really need to go home. And that's not, you know, not something against them, but just, you know, for me, my health is a priority for me right now, and making sure that my stress levels stay at a certain level. So that would kind of be my recommendation, is like thinking about a boundary that's important to you, and, you know, coming to your team or your manager or whoever it might be with that boundary, and not making it, you know, this is what is going to happen, but like, I am doing this because of this, and because I'm doing this, I will, you know, be available at X time, or I'll do X instead, or whatever it might be. So kind of coming with that problem solving mindset as well.
Yeah, agree. I mean, I was totally that lime soda only girl at work events, because I'm not a big drinker, and I just don't feel like I need to drink alcohol with work people. Like, I'm there
or multiple times. Yeah, I was the same way. It was like, I might go out, you know, I might have something once or one drink, but don't push me to have, you know, 3, 4, 5 drinks on a Tuesday.
Yeah. And I think, you know, completely understand, as you mentioned, for some people who are perhaps in the earlier years of their career, they might feel that they have to say yes to everything. And to be honest, you know, this is something that you grow out of, I honestly believe. We've all been there, right? But if possible, I would say pick your battles, right? If it's, you know, if you're already at home and you need to log on at 9 to do a deck, maybe say yes to that rather than going out for drinks until 2 in the morning, you know? So
Yep.
Prioritize things, and I don't feel like it needs to compromise your career progression at all. It's just about, you know, again, picking your battles, right? And I think especially in the workplace, if people listening happen to be in management, then I would say definitely do this by example, right? I've worked with people who literally delete the email app on their phones when they're on holiday. Right. I've seen that. Mm-hmm. I've seen managers say things like, if it's after 8 p.m., schedule the email to be sent in the morning. Right. Don't do 10 o'clock emails at night. And I think all of these are little things that people can start doing and start encouraging and creating, you know, almost fostering this environment where stress is not ignored and stress mm-hmm. is not accepted as a norm. I think that's the most dangerous thing nowadays is we accept what's normal to be right. So right. if exactly. 10 people around you have headaches every day and you have a headache, you start thinking, maybe that's normal, right? I don't need to worry about this. Or maybe if I don't have a headache, I'm the weird one. That used to happen to me quite a lot when everyone's complaining about being tired and I'm always like, but I'm not tired. And then I start feeling, am I not working as hard? Is that why? And turns out it's not, right? It's just because I take better care of my health. And I think that's just super important for people to remember that normal is not necessarily correct when it comes yes, to health.
Absolutely. And that is a great point, especially around the energy levels and that, you know, 2-3 p.m. slump that so many people in the corporate mm-hmm. world tend to feel. You know, when we come up on that 2-3 p.m. slump, it usually is due to, you know, what did you eat for lunch? Did you have mm-hmm. something that was nutrient intense?
That burrito. Like
dense. Right. Exactly. Have you been having enough water? You know, you could just be dehydrated and that's why you're tired instead of needing to reach for like a sugary snack. You know, maybe think about having a glass of water first and see if you're actually still hungry. So yes, totally. I think that is definitely something to point out as well as, you know, just because something feels normal, looks normal, because everyone else is doing it, doesn't mean that it's right or, you know, good for your health, for sure.
And I think circling back to, you know, this podcast about health, about nutrition, let's talk about in a typical busy day. Now we're all working from home, but by no means less busy, I have to say. What are some of the ways we can, I guess, you know, dealing with acute stresses, what are some of the ways that you found most calming for people? So this could be actual physical activities, or it could be what foods or what teas would you recommend people try?
Absolutely. So in a typical day, you know, going, I think first and foremost, having back-to-back calls, you know, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. is definitely the kiss of death. I know that we don't always have control over our calendars or over our schedules, but making sure that you at least have 5 and 10 minute breaks, you know, every like 2 hours at a minimum is super important. And that doesn't have to be a long break, but just long enough to, you know, maybe stretch a little bit. Even if you don't have time to stand up because you're in a call, if you're not on a video call, you know, maybe just do a few, you know, either chair yoga exercises or just stretches. Like folding over your legs is very, very good for your low back and just for your mindset, even to get like a new perspective, because your head is kind of mm-hmm. now underneath your chest and underneath your heart. And it really opens up our low back, which gets super tight from sitting for so often. And so that's something you can even do during calls if you are stuck in a day where you're back to back to back to back to back and literally have no time. Something else that's super important is making sure you have water. So if you do know that you have a block mm-hmm. of 2 or 3 hour meetings, make sure before that block starts, you have a water bottle on hand that's at least, you know, 16 to 20 ounces, and you'll have to help me with the conversion on that to liters. Because sorry. But, you know, having that water on hand, and, you know, if you can get up from your desk, move, even for 5 or 10 minutes, just walk around, even in a circle, if you don't have time to leave your apartment or your house. But, you know, getting outside can do wonders just to brighten your mood and to help. And then one other thing is just those few deep breaths that we talked about in the beginning, just closing your eyes for a moment, you know, turning the sound off of your computer so you don't hear the dinging, the auditory sounds that we talked about, you know, putting your phone on silent. And just, I like to put my left hand on my heart and my right hand on my belly and just breathe. You know, you can feel your breath in both of your hands. And that's a really good cue of how shallow you're breathing or how deeply you're breathing. And not really judging how you're breathing, but just feeling the breath will automatically kind of bring you back down from any, you know, high stress or any high heart rate that you might be feeling. So I think those would really be four key things. You know, make sure you have water. You can always do some chair stretches or, you know, stand up and do some stretches at your desk. Move if you can, 5 to 10 minutes inside or outside, and then breathe, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. And if you include some variation of those, you should notice that your stress throughout the day starts to come down. And that you'll be more present even for your meetings and for the actual, you know, things at work that you have to do.
Yeah. And I think just to add to that, what I'm able to do, because my desk is right by the window, I do keep the curtains drawn so that I can stare out the window at whatever's outside, every so often. And obviously that's good for your eye health anyway. And I was going to touch upon the topic of stress eating, because I think that is very commonly done. And I've heard so many people now that, you know, New Year's resolutions out the window by 9th of January, right? It's all the alcohol, all the snacks, all the unhealthy foods. And I think, you know, we can probably spend like 3 hours talking about that on itself. But just a quick note on stress eating. Quite often I remind people, if you're hungry, you're probably thirsty. That's one. And also, before you reach for snacks, you need to think about, just ask yourself three times, why, right? So is it just because you're bored? Chances are, if you're stress eating, it is because you're trying to distract yourself, right? And I would say, if you have, you know, I think both you and I, Alexa, you know, we're not those really prescriptive, restrictive types of coaches. So I wouldn't say, oh, you must not, you know, snack ever. But I would say, if you know you have a tendency to do that, make it a little bit difficult for yourself, and also focus on stocking up on healthy snacks. So eating an apple, if you're stressed, is far better than finishing a bag of Doritos, put it that way. So, and I think stress eating is, you know, it's interesting, because personally, when I get stressed, I don't eat. So that's another problem, right? I just have zero appetite. And of course, this is related to all the hormonal fluctuations that happen when we get stressed. And people, if you go look at a couple of episodes I've got on emotional eating, you'll know that there are specific hormones in our bodies that tell our brains you're hungry or you're not hungry. And when stress, you know, cortisol hits us, everything goes out of whack. You could either feel super snacky, or you could completely lose your appetite. So I think just being aware of that is enough in most cases to stop yourself in that moment and just think about it, have a glass of water. And because I don't like coffee personally, it's easier for me to, you know, maybe look at herbal teas, you know, your lemon balm, your chamomile, you know, even mint tea instead of a coffee, because coffee keeps you heightened.
It's not going to help with your stress. Sure, exactly. It'll give you caffeine, but it's not going to necessarily kind of bring you down. And another option I would give too is a peppermint tea, which can give you kind of that burst of energy without actually having caffeine in it. And it's really good for digestion or kind of any stomach issues as well. I would just add that as another kind of tea option. But I totally agree with the snacking. I actually on my website have a free how to fill your snack drawer thing with a lot of different healthy options that are easy, either grab and go or that take very minimal prep. But the key thing is, you know, to your point, making it a little bit more difficult for yourself to get them. So maybe it's not physically in your same space. Like if you have an office, maybe it's not in your office, it's in your kitchen. So you have to physically get up and get it. I agree. Having healthy things on hand for sure is definitely beneficial.
Yeah. And so you've given us loads of great tips already, but I'd like to invite you to actually give three actionable tips for our listeners, just generally around stress.
Yeah. So I think three main items that, you know, you can do today, tomorrow, forever. First one is definitely move your body. It can be specifically exercise specific or just, you know, getting up and going for a walk or stretching. But, you know, there's not only physical benefits to that, but also the mental benefits that come with that. And I think if your listeners are looking for a way to kind of get involved in exercise and moving their body a little bit more, I do offer classes, both yoga and fitness classes that are really accessible to all, that would be a really good way to kind of introduce themselves to a more, you know, exercise-based program. And then the second item is, you know, the deep breathing that we have talked about a couple times, but just taking 2 or 3 minutes a day. And again, if you want to, you can have, you know, right hand or left hand on your heart, right hand on your belly, or you can just, you know, sit in a chair or on the floor and just breathe. Notice your breath. One of the things I like to make sure if you're seated in a chair, make sure your feet are flat on the mat, flat on the ground. It's really important to feel the stability of the ground or the earth underneath you in order to really start to relax and really start to breathe. And then the third item, honestly, is get some accountability. So, you know, grab a coworker or a friend and, you know, on your health journey and just start to hold not only yourself accountable, but also someone else accountable in your stress journey and in your health journey. And, you know, if you don't have a friend that you feel comfortable working with, then find a coach. You know, there are so many really important and really good either health coaches or nutrition coaches. Obviously, two of them are right here. But, you know, having accountability is really what is going to help you, you know, be sustainable in your stress journey or in your health journey. And I've seen that time and time again with my clients and with the market research that I've done, that that's one of the most important items to sustainability in health and stress management.
Absolutely. This is why, you know, information shortage is never the problem, right? You just go on Google and type in weight loss and you'll find probably 3 million results in 2 seconds. But I absolutely agree. I think accountability is probably the key thing that could make or break someone's health journey, just because you know, not just with weight loss, I think with anything you do, quite often people tend to hide it until they succeed. And actually, that's the worst thing you can do, right? Obviously, you don't need to put it on Twitter or Instagram, you know, tell the world that you're doing it. But it helps, you know, to have people who you know will be supportive to be on your side fighting for you.
Yep. Absolutely. And if you don't feel like you have that support around you, then, you know, bring someone in to be that support for you, because coaches will be your cheerleader. They will give you specific information for you and, definitely kind of help you along your journey. So I totally agree.
That's what we live for.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we do 2-3 jobs at a time. You know, that's why we're coaches and that's why I teach classes and that's why I'm, 9-to-5 corporate professional. We do it all.
So my last question for you, Alexa, which is my favorite question for all my guests. What is the one food that takes you to your happy place every time?
So the one food for me is definitely going to be pizza. And I know it's not a healthy food, but it is one of those foods that I always find a way to work in. And I am not a pizza snob. I will have, the cauliflower pizza, or I will do, different variations of it depending on kind of what my focus is for my health. But pizza is definitely something that will never be cut from my diet. And I say diet, not in the sense of an actual diet, but just how I eat.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!